Going back to the Song of Solomon. And God willing, tonight we're going to begin in chapter 2. And praise God, what we've seen thus far. And it was interesting as I was coming in tonight with my sweet mom and just kind of thinking a few things. And you know, God help us to go on in our walk with the Lord. And you know, chapter 1 of Solomon is beyond. It's wonderful. Yet we know in that chapter that the Shulamite, even though she had begun with, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth," it was just a few verses later, she was not only not in the chamber, not even in the home, not in the field, she was looking to find out where he was. And I got to thinking how in my time of being wooed by the Lord, and thank God for the grace, because but for the grace of God, there could go I too. Those that have been enlightened and enriched with this, that have worshiped and praised God for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus message, but yet I know that a couple that are so close to me and I love so dearly, it's as if they've been away from it so long, as if they never even heard it, knew it. Love the Lord, but that fervent desire to win him, it was just a moment gone. And it just breaks your heart. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, you got to get out of chapter 1. Got to get into chapter 2. But then there was so much going on in chapter 1, praise God. It's wonderful. But yet, you know, there's some that even were enlightened in this, they're not even looking for the field. I'm praying for people at least to be looking for his field. Praise God. You know what I'm saying? So there is much to pray for. And Lord, help us to really lift one another up. But we praise God with what his love for her and her having an ear to hear it has caused her to know what she is to him. And that really is, I believe, the turning point in our walk with God, is when we really see, I mean, I'm starting to get the hair standing up on my arms, what we are to him. How much he loves us, his desire for us, and truly to know the love of Christ. And that is really Paul's gospel, and what was brought through Paul's gospel is the knowledge, the depth of the knowledge, in every dimension of that knowledge, in the most intimate way. He types it as a husband and wife, but it's even beyond that, what he sees for you in him. And it transforms you, doesn't it? And it, praise God, as we by faith lay hold of it, it does take time. I mean, over time, it grows as we yield to God. But, boy, I'll tell you what, it's just like a moment ago as it hit me, it's immediate. I mean, it's quickening. It's a power that, beyond a rush, we know it's the Holy Ghost that does this, but the transforming power of the knowledge of his love to us. And we'll see tonight how it causes her and it causes us to move in absolute confidence and assurance of how well-pleasing she is to him, all by the grace of God. All by the grace of God. And we're going to see this battle throughout the whole wonderful story here, through every verse and chapter, the battle for her to just lay hold of the faith that, honey, you're beautiful to me. Continue to take the grace. There's nothing you can add to it. Don't get distracted. Don't be worrying about other folks. We're at a table for two here, honey. This is the time of the readied wife. Be ready. And brothers and sisters, I was thinking, you know, it's okay. It's okay, really, to rejoice in the beauty of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? It's wonderful. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. As Paul said, I glory in that man. Amen? I don't glory in anything about me. This is all being found in his righteousness. This is all about the glory of God, the only glory there is, all in the face, praise God, of his wonderful Son. But brothers and sisters, this thing's going to culminate and climax here pretty soon. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. She realizes, I got him. Praise the Lord. And you know, sisters, I don't know how that feels naturally. But I know that there's been a time in your life, the ones that are married, and I mean in a good way, not in, oh, I've got him, but I've got him. I've won his heart. Praise the Lord. I just think of how romantic that is. And I'm talking in the natural with a husband or something of that nature, to where there was just such a rest and a peace. And this is where we're going tonight, is this rest and peace of this life, that there's nothing that distracts me anymore. I'm just captivated with his love. So let's go ahead and read from verse 1 of chapter 2. And it says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the bride speaking. This is the Shulamite. This is not the bridegroom. She is making this statement. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. She takes her place and is not ashamed. And see, what happened here is it's amazing what being fed and dwelling in the inner chambers of his heart, what it can do to our life. And this rose of Sharon is quite an awesome and beautiful sight. You see, this is a tract of land in Israel that is a spectacular place. And it is known as a place where the most spectacular flowers, and especially as they call it, the Rose of Sharon, grows, and how brilliant the colors of this plant are. But it's a very fertile place. And it has to be a fertile place in a sense that can produce this. But it's also a place that is very rocky, and it's a very hard place. If you really look at the topography of that area and seeing what a desert it is and the rocks that are there, it's amazing to think that something so beautiful can come out of such a hard and rocky place. But we've known over the years how God has encouraged us the path to God's best. And we're talking about the path that we fight the good fight of faith to hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take our crown. It's not a lotus land of ease, is it? It's not, as we know, a hothouse, as we've been encouraged many times. It's the place of enduring hardness as a good soldier. We know that this truly is such a calling as the Lord has encouraged us. That double portion, there's two sides to this bride. She's a lover, but she's also a warrior. She's a fighter. And brothers and sisters, we have to fight to just stand in the place that he's already given. He's already given it. He's already provided it. But we fight because things are going to attack us to try this, and God sees fit to do that to prove his love in us. But I thank the Lord how sweetly that she knows, and we know this as well too, because the word tells us, if we'll suffer with him, we'll reign with him. If we'll go on and not turn back at the halfway house and go on up to the summit, we're going to be right there in the midst of the throne with him. I thank God that we don't need to turn back. I'll tell you what, anymore, I'm so thankful to God. It's not about turning back. It's the fire that he continues to build to press on. And he does that with the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. He does that by the Spirit revealing this truth and giving us a little bit more light upon light. Sometimes we feel a little bit dry. Sometimes we get to a point where, oh my goodness, I just feel so desperate. I'm just a little overwhelmed with all of the things that are going on. And God gives you a check and says, no, wait, honey, you live by faith. Read what I'm doing here. Read, with all of these trials that are going in your life, this is the exceeding riches of my grace that I'm getting you ready for. This is pouring out those gifts of due benevolence between a husband and a wife, that I am giving these things to you, because it's not only, in a sense, given that you believe, but it's given that you suffer for my name's sake. If you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. Now, it's a beautiful time in these verses that we're going to hit tonight as well, too, because she's not caught up in the suffering. She's just thankful for the beauty that's produced in it. She's really in a wonderful zone in these six verses that we're going to cover tonight of rejoicing because of his love to her. And it's wonderful how beautiful, again, she sees herself in the eyes of Christ. Well, it goes on to say here, the lily of the valleys. Now, we'll see this word lily 8 times mentioned in the Song of Solomon. And again, that number 8, speaking of the bride and what bridal perfection this is. She is saying here, I'm the lily, I'm bright. It's straight, it's cheerful, it's a trumpet-shaped flower, all describing her appearance, her glow, her beauty, her song. As a matter of fact, the lily is known as the queenly plant. See, all of these things, brothers and sisters, it wasn't a happenstance. This wasn't just by accident. This is the perfect will and the perfect word of God. And again, speaking to us and wooing us with these wonderful things that he has written a long time ago. But praise be to God, these prophets, they wrote them for us. But let me give you some more attributes and how glorious they are of this lily. First of all, this lily is one of the most fragrant smelling of all flowers. It is. And you think in the Word of God as it talks about that virtuous woman. She's a sweet-smelling fragrance to him. And you think about how Esther was prepared and the grooming that was done for her, that when she was presented to the king, how fragrant she would be and how beautiful and clean and all of the things that would come off just of the aroma of this sweet-smelling one. Next of all, the lily exceeds all other flowers in its whiteness, which is such a beautiful thing to think about. You know, there's a thing called the fine white linen that's in Revelation 19. It's that exceeding white. It's that white that's so light exceeding that it's transparent, that you just see him. And I am so grateful to God that her light, her brightness, it's his glory. A lily is an incredibly fruitful flower. One lily plant can have as many as 50 bulbs. That's very rare for a flower to be that fruitful. But again, she's a fruitful one. She's go and read in Proverbs 31 about that virtuous woman. All of these little attributes about this. And there's so many. But another one, the lily was used and continues to be used for medicinal purposes. She's a salve to the body. That's what's so wonderful. Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. This one that is like the lily, when she recognizes who Christ has made her to be, she's a joint that supplies to the rest of the body, all because of the supplying of the head. But she realizes, my goodness, Lord, your love and your grace has empowered me. I do have purpose in this life. I do have meaning by the grace of God. I am a vessel, as we know the word vessel means, adding to the usefulness of the husband. And then finally, I'd like to point out the lily can be an extremely tall flower, but it has a bowed bloom or a bowed bloom of a head. So it's tall, but the head kind of falls down. It bows. And I was thinking, you know, the Lord, again, has set us up and so sweetly exalted us together with him. But it's always in the humility. It's always in humbleness. It's always, he gives grace to the humble. See, brothers and sisters, as Christ in us, the hope of glory, just continues to build in our lives, you understand it's because he's increasing and I must decrease. It's that beautiful humility that just continues on, not in man's thought of what humbleness and humility is. No, that all glory is to him. And again, I just marvel at these things. I could go on just about a lily. We could be here for weeks just to talk about this lily. This is how specific he is to wanting you to wake up. I love you so much. This couldn't be a coincidence. It couldn't have ever happened. This is the divine and all-powerful Word of God. And this, praise God, is not just the testimony. It is the proposal that's going on now to those that will hear it. Praise his name. But notice here as well, she is the lily of the valleys, and which is so precious here as well too, because the fruit, as we rejoice in, is often found only in the valley. Getting back to that humility, it's in the lowly place. It can be in the places where the fruit is oftentimes in the valley of the shadow of death. That's where God will really show us something. We always like to be singing on the mountaintops and praising God and thinking, well, this is the height of the height. But I'll tell you, sometimes you never see the height of the height until he takes you to the depth of the depth. And I praise God for that. It's just like the dark mile, as that man was saying. He said, well, you could go around it, but I'll tell you what, if you'll go down through it, it's a treacherous way. And I'm telling you, it'll have you shuddering at times. And you could get hurt down there and all that. But if you get to the very bottom of that place, and you look up, even in the midst of daylight, you can see the stars like you'll never see them before. But you can only see it when you're in that place. Well, praise be to God. This is the lily in the valley. And we thank the Lord for that. But and it goes on here to talk about the lily. Let's go over here to verse 2. As the lily among thorns. So again, she is understanding this about her life. She's saying this. I'm a lily in the valley. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. And it's so wonderful as she, again, has received the feeding at the shepherd's tents. As she's gone from that to moving into his chambers, into that bedroom. And the last we left off in chapter 1, it's our house, it's our bed. She understands what's mine is yours. That's what a spouse is. That, praise God, is what he wants us to be, as it says in Romans 8. We, as children of God, we are heirs of God. Amen. You're an heir of God. If you've accepted Christ Jesus as Savior, you are an heir of God. But it didn't end there. It says, and joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. No longer with God, in a sense, that Trinity, and in a sense the Father, but now, praise God, with Jesus Christ, joint heirs, sunkleronimus. I love that in the Greek. As husband and wife, as wedded ones, glorified together with him, if so be that we'll suffer together with him. Amen? Praise God. So, again, this so sweetly comes before us that this is this perfect walk. But he says there, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Now, this lily among thorns is just what it is. The thorns represent the curse, in a sense, the sin of this world, the waste of this world, the waste of this earth. But oh my, what God chose to bloom there. Amen. Amen. See, he showed us. He took Joseph. He plucked him right out of that, in a sense, just little hothouse, his daddy and all of his brothers and all of these different things. But he had a plan for Joseph. And the plan for Joseph to grow up to be a man of God was not going to be in a hothouse. It was going to be right there in the midst of that dirty Egypt. Right there in the midst of all of that idolatry, all of that ungodliness. But God was going to show him, you know what? I can keep you, son. Now, Joseph didn't go picking out that. It wasn't like, well, Lot going picking out Sodom. This was God doing it, showing him, you know what? I'm the Lord thy God, and nothing's hard for me. I can do it. There's nothing impossible for me. And I'm going to show you, if there's a heart for God, no matter where it is, I'm going to meet it. And I'm going to meet it with everything it'll meet me with. And boy, did Joseph meet him. Praise God. Wasn't it wonderful? The testimony of that, just like Moses, as he said, you know what? You know, I'll tell you what, I'm going to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen? And you think of the riches that were there, brothers and sisters. I mean, all the riches of the world were there. All the pleasures of the world were there at those times. I mean, that was where, if you want to talk about the billionaire of the billionaire, it was right there. That was it. That was where everything was, all of the pleasures. But there was something else that was above that, and that was the love of God. And it said, it's not worthy to be compared. And yet we have a better thing that is offered to us, which is so wonderful. But you can see, even at this time, think of the testing and the trial that we have in this age that we have, and how, again, the technology that we have, and all of the advancements that we have, and all of the doctors that we have, and all of the everything that's going to do everything for you that we have, that you don't even have to do anything anymore. You don't. That's how it's all set up. You don't have to believe, you don't have to do anything. And matter of fact, we'll be your God. That's where we're at right now. And the Bible said it would be so. And it would be. And they go to worshiping that. They go to worshiping things. They go to worshiping that convenience and luxury and whatever it is. Doesn't matter how much you have. It's a state of heart. But I thank God, praise the Lord. He's called us out and he's chosen us. That, you know what, there's just a few kooks left that'll listen to the word of God. But it's wonderful. But see, God chose that precious lily to bloom in them thorns. Got a picture of it that Arthur's sister-in-law that lives in Israel drew for me. And it's in my office and it's beautiful. But see, that's the pearl of great price. The pearl is being cultivated here right now. And you think even about the natural pearl. And if you've ever studied about how a pearl is developed and all, yes, it's in that shell. But what happens is a piece of sand gets in there and irritates it. And it irritates it over time. And it comes through all this conflict and irritation and all of these different things. So you see all that irritation that you're facing in your life? You give it to God, it's a good thing. If you just be irritated and don't give it to God, you're just being irritated for nothing. And that's about the truth of the matter. But that's how it comes about, even a pearl. It's an irritation there in the tissues of that little shell. And here comes that beautiful, rich pearl that comes out of there. But now get this as we go on. It says, so is my love among the daughters. Again, this speaking of herself as he's seeing her, she gets this, how much he loves her. See, this even goes on further, how outstanding she is, because let me tell you something. These daughters are beautiful. They're beautiful women. But she is so far beyond them in beauty to him, it's like comparing a lily to the thorns. Do you realize how highly favored you are? By the grace of God, as you apprehend this and take this, and it's all the grace of God, you know you couldn't merit any of this. You couldn't do a thing. This is all what he gave, all what he does, all that he has done, and thanking God for this. But this is how beautiful she begins to really recognize. You talk about enlarged steps and being bold in the Lord. I am so thankful that he has ravished with me. All by the grace of God. Because you see, all you're magnifying in that is the grace of God. It doesn't magnify you, but grace is ravishing to him. As I take that grace, and that grace clothes my life, and I take the word of his grace, there's nothing more ravishing to him. Praise be to God. So we thank him for this. And this is such an outstanding comment that we know this, that the daughters are the people of God. And as the word of God says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. We've got to get back to how we began this. Remember, we really believe that this was somewhat derived in King Solomon's love for Abishag. And remember when King Solomon, his brother, just said, well, you know what? I'm not going to question the kingdom. I'm not going to do this. But I just want that one woman. And Bathsheba, Solomon's mama, came in there and said, now, honey, this is a little thing. Your brother's a good guy. Go ahead and just give. You got lots of women. You don't, you know, you got all of this stuff. Just be kind and give him this one. And I love that answer. Well, should I give him my kingdom too? Get it. I mean, isn't it wonderful? See, he's saying there, without her, I don't have a kingdom. Without her, there is no kingdom. It takes us both. This is this love story. This is the place he wants you to take by faith. Amen? By faith. And it's grace through faith. Amen. But to take that by faith and to say, Lord, just cause me to believe it. You've said it. You've shown it to me. It's here. It's clear. It's all throughout the Word of God. I was just thinking today how many love stories are in the Word of God. Why are there so many? And especially starting out the Old Testament, one after the other, after the other, after the other. Because he wants to set it straight with us right away. This is a love story. It's what this is. Isn't it amazing how man approaches religion and how man approaches Christianity? The very first thing you're going to see most of the time, well, there's the Ten Commandments. And I just sit there and go, oh, praise the Lord for all of it. Don't get me wrong. But I know who took care of that for me. I do. And we go on. I don't want to get bogged down in that, but it is just, it is shocking. But at the same time, by the grace of God, he's encouraging us. But in Revelation 21, like I said, he has no kingdom without her. In Revelation 21, the bride is described descending from heaven, having the glory of God. And her light, in a positive way, and the only thing that ever has light in the Word of God is him. But she has light. She has this light. Because why? Because she has him. This is why she's saying that. This is why she is able to say, I am the Rose of Sharon. This is why she says that, because she's got the light. She's got him. Praise God. And they're together. And it's so wonderful. But if you even go back over, and it even gets sweeter if you go over to Revelation 21, and maybe as you read through this again, as the Lord continues to, by his Spirit, give us a little bit more light and insight to say, oh, wow, my goodness, the light's going on. This little enlightenment's going on in my mind a little bit more and in my heart. But here it is in verse 23 of chapter 21. It says there, and again, this is the city, the New Jerusalem. It says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. Now, again, you got to take this in context. What's the glory of God? It's her. She's descending from heaven, having the glory of God. That's the bride, the Lamb's wife. And the Lamb is the light thereof. It takes my breath away, brothers and sisters, because she lights him up, he lights her up, and together, I'm going to tell you something, all the power and light of eternity is going to come from them. I don't understand it. I cannot even imagine it, but I'm going to tell you something, by the grace of God, I can believe it. Amen? It all started with salvation. That's all I can tell you. So if you can really explain and understand salvation, and you know what I'm talking about, you know what? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that's where it begins and never ends. Amen. See? So praise the Lord. We go on in that simplicity. Verse 3, back in chapter 2. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Now, praise the Lord, she goes from, again, rejoicing about how she is seen in him, to now just speaking of him and how beautiful that is, because that's the way it should be. Amen. Really, because we have to see again how beautiful we are to him and in his eyes, and then we can really express in our hearts how beautiful he is. It's the truth. And I thank God again how he brings this. But see, there's so much in here. But now again, the bridegroom is speaking here, and it's not only a tree. Obviously, we know that he's the tree of life in the Word of God and all of these different things. But we see that this is a fruitful tree, and specifically an apple tree. The shade, the protection. But we understand there's so much more as we feed upon him. Now, this apple tree specifically speaks of peace. Peace. And when we really enter into this courtship, when we really enter into this bridal relationship, this full overcomer faith by the grace of God, our life becomes a life of the perfect peace that passes all understanding. Amen? It really does. Because you can't explain it. People don't get it. You begin to just occupy, again, as Israel's wife. There's a comfort. And again, you're surprised. It surprises you, doesn't it? If you're not surprised about who you are in Christ, because you're the one that really kind of knows you the best in a way besides Jesus, and you sit there and you go, man, that is not me, Lord. Thank you, God, that you have done this. And you just kind of catch yourself thinking, man, I don't think about that stuff anymore. You took me from that to this and from glory to glory into your very image. It's amazing how he does these things. But this is it. She exudes this peace that passes all understanding. People want to get excited about stuff around you. They want to start getting, they're freaking about this or that or whatever it may be. And it's just like, no, honey, I'm shut up to him. I'm right there, and this is where I'm going to be with him. And she stands, and she's not moved, not greatly moved. I shall not be moved. And she now sees him as the standout among the sons. She said, no other field I'm going to glean in. I'm going to get in yours. And you say, well, how is she really like that? Well, many things, but in this verse, it tells us because she sits down. She sits down. She gets down under the shade, and the shadow of that apple tree, and she gets under there with great delight. And you think about the place of a shadow. What does the shadow do? It blocks out everything. Amen. See, when you truly sit at his feet, when you're truly worshiping him, it blocks out everything, doesn't it? Amen. You're captivated. You're just seeing Jesus. You're seeing Jesus as you walk through life. When you see Jesus, you see the Word of God in your life. You see it operating. You see it working powerfully in your life. When you're focused on him, you walk through trials, but you're seeing the Word of God, that all-powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, meet everything that you face. Amen? When you turn away from that, and when you start looking at the circumstances, the faith is still there. It's just not you're not laying hold of faith. Nothing's changed in a sense of where God's at. He's able. He's already done it. You're more than a conqueror through Christ who loved you. The victory's already been won. But instead of walking through it, you're hesitating and all of these things. Just walk my eyes on him. Praise God, and the Word of God fights every foe. And he showed us that. Remember in the temptations? It is written. It is written. It is written. Thank the Lord. And he said that for us, but I thank God so sweetly that it's just written in my heart. I don't think, what would Jesus do? I just walk, and he does it. His mind's here. His life's here. So, praise the Lord. Walk by faith. Amen. Walk by faith. Walk by faith. The life we now live is by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. The faith of the Son of God. It's not my faith. It's the faith of the Son of God. And that's what's so beautiful. Again, we are his workmanship. Amen. He's the one that performs the good work in us. Amen. I don't read anything about I or me in that. Isn't it Christ in you, the hope of glory? Think about what the Word of God says. It's perfect, exact, and so clear. Praise his name. That we know that he is the power. But, so she sits down in the place where everything is blocked out. That was kind of like Mary. She just kind of sitting there at his feet. And I was thinking about how beautiful that was. You know, Martha was a little bit upset. Others were upset, starting to say things. It wasn't Mary that said something back to Martha, was it? It wasn't. Mm-mm. It was Jesus, the Word. Amen? Isn't that something? You know how sometimes we want to, well, then we're distracted. She just let it go. It was just the water off the duck's back. I don't even know what you're saying. Matter of fact, I can't. Are you saying something? You talking? Are you here? Amen? You've had that experience a couple times maybe. I pray we live there. Just live right there. And how wonderful, wonderful it is. And praise God how he's bringing us to that place. But see, it's a place that she's captivated with every thought upon him. Moment by moment, she's meditating on him. It's his beautiful grace. And we realize in this sweet life, in our life as we go on, really realizes our life is about more faith. Amen? It's a life moment by moment of faith. Even getting up here to give out this study, moment by moment, really, I'm just calling out to the Lord. I really am. I just believe in Jesus and his wonderful spirit to bring forth what he wants. So why would it be any different if I'm here, if I'm driving that car, if I'm sitting down for a meal, if I'm going into some type of a meeting, if there's an issue, if there's a tragedy, by the grace of God, it is moment by moment faith. Amen? Now the chills started up again. Just to really, again, God, encourage my heart. How beautiful this is. And you are going to take me into those places of faith. Amen? He's done it for all of us. And it's only Wednesday. Think of how much faith he's built in your life to Wednesday. I'm not trying to get you to go, oh no, Lord. How are we going to get to Saturday? Just today. He might come today. That's the beautiful thing is we're loving his appearing today. But that's the beautiful thing, brothers and sisters. We know that our life and what he has for our life is for eternity. He's thinking about forever. You know, you think about how a dad and a mom will plan for their kids. You know, they have these little babies, and you think of this baby that's being born now, and I mean, lots of things, but soon those parents will think, well, you know, this baby will, you know, you get going way off. Well, maybe go to college, have a car, and get married. You even think of grandkids, and you still got this little baby. You know, but you're thinking and you're planning maybe, you know, how are we going to do this? Sometimes people buy life policies and they buy life insurance on themselves to provide or all of these different things. This preparing that goes on. How much more so the one that said, even to those disciples, I go to prepare a mansion for you. Huh? And you think of the mansion that they understood for them. Now think of the mansion that he's shown he's preparing for you. A bridal palace. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my Jesus. So in that, thinking about, Lord, that's the forever you have in mind for me with you. Now, it lent a little bit more light in the ages to come. The exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us. Yes, he is beautiful. Praise the Lord. And see, we can testify. There's nothing that can compare, is there? Praise the Lord. And I thank God he gives us these times to be together. Thank you. Thank him. But this is the kisses of his mouth are sweeter than wine. This is the truth in love by his spirit. We really begin to understand and really believe and know it's the only joy there is. But praise God, we don't just have joy. We have joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's full of glory. It's full of him, our life. See, the joy that we have, it's full of him. It's full of his glory. And it's unspeakable. It's indescribable. All we can do is praise him. Thank God he gave us a spirit that we can praise him oftentimes even in the tongue of men and angels. So we thank the Lord for that. But see, it's his grace, brothers and sisters, that makes it sweet beyond. And still staying with this same verse. See, some will sit in that shadow. But there's a difference how you sit. Sit with great delight. Great delight. Huh? See, I was thinking sometimes we can come into this meeting. Huh? You think his shadow's in here? His shadow's in here. But did we come to sit in great delight, desire, thrill, ecstasy? Now, sometimes we don't feel like it. I understand that. But God didn't predicate it and say, well, honey, how do you feel today? You talk about a hardcore lover. You're never going to hear to this Shulamite, well, honey, how'd you feel today? It don't work that way. Now, I've had ones come to me, well, you know what? You're not very sensitive sometimes. And thank God I don't hear it too much. But I don't know. Maybe I need to hear it more. But in talking about emotions, I want spirit emotions. I really do. If we just get caught up into natural emotions, we're going to miss it. This is a fight. And it's the fight for the only prize there is, and that's to win Christ. And we thank God so richly in what he's doing. But this is sitting down in great delight. This is exceeding delight and exceeding desire. Brother David in Psalm 19 kind of gives us an insight of what this heart can be. And he's talking about the Word of God here to preface this. And he's talking about how sweet it is and how wonderful. But he gets down to the 10th verse talking about the Word of God, talking about the Lord and what it is. He says here in the 10th verse of the 19th chapter, it's more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And there was a man that you mark. He was a man after God's own heart. He was a man that praised the Lord. It said, fully went after him. Praise God. And we thank the Lord for that. But see, nothing can compare. Fully purposed. Brother Paul brought it out like this. If by any means I might take that place. And what happens in this transformation is this crown becomes my dearest possession. It becomes the treasure of my life. Now let's go on to verse 4 of chapter 2 of Song of Solomon. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Oh my goodness, what a highlight. See, the banqueting house, it literally means the place of wine bubbling over. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this really is too much. Every single word, every meaning, stay with it. Let the Holy Ghost just take you on in it. Every bit of imagery, it was written a long time ago, and it's all for you. Know this. This is all for you. Why else would this have been written? Like I say, all these scholars, they still wonder today, why was this written? Why was this written? Why would this just appear like this? This doesn't make sense anywhere in the Word of God. It makes total sense all over the world, Word of God, because this is Paul's gospel. This is exactly what Paul's gospel brings to light. This is what those wonderful prophets were writing for us. Hallelujah. I'm going to have a bride, and this is how much I love her. This is how much I love you. Listen to me. Listen how I'm captivated. Listen to what I was thinking about in 1000 B.C. Someday I'll tell you what I was thinking about way before B.C. That'll get your head to spin too, won't it? Huh? Now, it's wonderful. This is the place of wine bubbling over. And we know that the wine speaks of the Spirit. It speaks of joy. And again, now we're back to that joy unspeakable, full of glory. This is the place of the fullness of the Holy Ghost, the place of filled with all the fullness of God. The Apostle Paul wrote and revealed this fullness. And we know that it was because the Spirit, through Paul, brought forth the mystery of Christ in the church, the bridal message, that's the only message that can stretch this wineskin, getting it ready to burst over and over and over. How many times have you felt like you're going to burst? Huh? Praise the Lord. Amen. And that's the way it is. And this is the message that does it. But it's in that place that you know, as it goes on to that next statement, his banner over me, love. Love, love, love. And this banner, if you want to think about it, is kind of like a flag. And it's a military term in which they would divide out companies. Isn't that wonderful? So see, they'd have these flags or these poles, and we'll get it out of here in just a second. But it would even divide it down to the smallest division. And I always loved that. It would divide it down to even a rib portion. You know, there's all sorts of things in here, not to get too far apart, but it's just what it is. But this is brought out in Numbers chapter 2. And when Numbers chapter 2, it's speaking there of the children of Israel, or Israel, in the wilderness, and how the tribes at that time they were divided into ranks in the wilderness. And each one of the tribe had a banner. Basically, they had a flag. And as they would go through their day, and they would pitch the tent at night or whenever they would pitch their camp, they would go to their flag or they would go to their banner. They would assemble to their rank where they would were supposed to be. And they would all line up. And I thought how sweet it was. I'm sure you could guess who the first rank was. And that's Judah, the Lion of Judah. Speaking of the first fruit, there was the first rank, our precious Lord. But then the second rank, which I'd forgotten a long time ago, I think it was sweet brother Joe Bird Sr. that told me this when we were studying in Revelation. But Reuben is the second rank, and it'll say that right there. Well, why would Reuben be the second rank? Because he's the eldest son, the most mature. And I just thought the most grown up in the Lord, the one that would be the again, that fully matured son. And then can you imagine who was the last rank? And it says who had the hindmost place of the banner. And you'll find that in Numbers 2:31, and that was the tribe of Dan. And you know what happened to the tribe of Dan if you study the Word of God out a little bit here. Some might not know as much, but in a sense know this particular part is what I'm trying to say here, but Dan, that they went on to worshiping pagan gods, and you know by the time of Revelation, they're even removed from the list there of the tribes that will inherit from God. But what a witness to us as we see this right here is this banner, and I thank the Lord, brothers and sisters, we're choosing right now what banner we're sitting under. We are. We're choosing it right now. And we've heard this before in the churches that are there in Revelation. You can find yourself in one of those churches. I pray to God tonight, I'm in the Church of Philadelphia. I pray to God by the grace of God. I know he's going to perform the good work which he's begun. I'm trusting him for it. But you know what? I press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to be one that's fully purposed. I know it's got to be the grace of God, but I want to take the grace to show up, to submit my life to Lord, pour that grace in to perform this work. Amen? So I want that willingness. I know it's got to come from him, but I do. I want to take that grace. That, Lord, I want to be willing to go on. But I thank God that this sweet sister, she chose, and boy, did he deliver, divine love. That's the rank she's in, pure grace. He's finished it for me, and he's going to perform that good work which he's begun. His banner over me is love. Isn't that wonderful? His banner over me isn't judgment. He's not like condemnation. He's not like this. It's love. She's at peace. She's a readied wife. She knows that he is ravished with her. She's settled in him. How wonderful this, again, over and over, this same message is given to us. And this love, even before we leave this, once again, is something very special. This is love, a word in the Hebrew. It denotes a love between a man and a woman, specifically. And it even brings out and it emphasizes a sexual desire. This would be the desire that would come forth in a union of a husband and wife for marriage. This is the banner that she is my wife. I think of this so sweetly as even that name that's written on her in Revelation 3 that no one knew. But we know that that is bridegroom. And I so thank God. See, she's my light. She's my glory. She's my all in all. Without you, there's no kingdom. She fills my house. Banner over her is love. Case closed. Oh, I thank God for that. Okay, let's go on. Verse 5. Stay me with flagons, she says. Comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. Now, the flagons here speak of pitchers. That's what a flagon is. And they're pitchers of wine. And comfort me with apples. So once again, we're back to a double portion. A double portion of, again, the wine is the joy. And the apples, we saw, was that peace. And we thank God that it's just more of him and more of him and more of him. It's insatiable. And it's joy, joy, joy. And you think about, the Bible tells us that we would finish with a full joy. Amen? Yeah. See, we know it's a way of suffering. We understand that. But you count it all joy. Praise God. Yes, you do. If this is working in your life, you do. because you know there's nothing that can be compared. It's not worthy to be compared. Not even worthy to be uttered what glory shall be revealed in you. It's so wonderful what he has given to us. But the wine here again speaks of the Holy Ghost. If you go over to Romans 15:13, we see that it says, and I'm sure most of you know this by heart, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." So we know that it's going to be the Holy Ghost, and that power, that it's not just a hope, but that you abound in this hope. You abound in this wonderful proposal message to you. And what is the evidence of that going to be? It's going to be joy. When you take it to your heart, it's going to be joy. I know people that know this message of the bridal truth that are, I hate to say it, they can be the most downer people. Oh, yeah, Jesus is going to marry me. You know, and it's, and they're stiff and cold and all of these different things. And I love this place. I love you. We don't work this up. It's just what it is. And there's going to be time of crying. There's going to be time of a lot of things. But there's a joy that overrides it all. Because Jesus is coming. And he's coming for his bride. And you have that message. And I'm believing him by his grace that he's going to perform it. I don't care what somebody else thinks. I don't care if somebody's judged me by one event in my life. Amen? I pray we don't do that with one another. Because it's about today. And it's about the state of the heart today. And are we looking and loving his appearing today? But all these things of Christ, I think how wonderful the Holy Ghost is and does for us, because specifically the Holy Ghost is given for us. And again, he gives us all the things of Christ. Amen? All truth, as the Word of God says. All of Christ, the Lamb of God. He takes the things of Christ and he makes them ours. And see, when all of this really hits us, I mean really hits us, and this desire and all of this fullness and all of this great, great grace, you become sick of love. You're overwhelmed. You're at a place, Lord, you blew me away. Amen. Amen. And what a place to reside till he come. See, she's just not right and complete till she sees him face to face. And what a precious groaning it is, brothers and sisters, until we see him face to face. And we'll close with the sixth verse. So here's how it winds up. And what a precious surrendering in the embrace of the lovers. It says, "His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me." Can you see it? Can you see it? Huh? Can you see him? Has he dipped you? Huh? He ain't going to drop you. You think he has. You ain't going to slip through those hands. But really, there's really nothing more to say. It is what it is. And once again, God help us, wake up. Why would the Word of God speak of these things? Why? Because this is yours. This is what we as enlightened in Christ human beings, because yes, we're human beings, we can grasp this by the grace of God to understand this is the heights of romance of a love affair. This is what it is. And it doesn't matter if we're men or women, because you know what? There's neither male nor female in Christ. Isn't that beautiful? So get that out of your head. But what he gives us here is this type. And it's still, again, a type. And it's the most beautiful and wondrous type that we know. And it is. There's nothing like true love and fervent true love and ravishing romantic love. There isn't. But how much the more this is what Christ has for us if we'll take it. You talk about a satisfying. When this overwhelms our hearts, brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter. Whatsoever state I'm in, Lord, what state am I in, Lord? It don't matter, right? It don't matter. I'm just with you. We're together. It don't matter where we're living. I know I'm seated in the heavens with you now. But God, help us to really see this, because this is, again, this is so beyond. And I love all of these relationships. I'm not making light of them. It's so beyond the relationship of a father, so much beyond the relationship of a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, so far beyond even, as he says, I call you brothers, friends. This is the lover. This is the one. This is the one who fulfills all of that and then more. And God, help us to pray more and more for this courtship, more and more for this love affair with Jesus. Because, brothers and sisters, there's no denying his desire for us, is there? There isn't. We can try to run from it, but that desire will always be there. This is the place of the dearly beloveds in perfect peace and rest in one another's arms. Praise the Lord. I pray it's encouraged you tonight. I know it's got to be the Spirit that does it for any of us. But I do marvel, brothers and sisters, just to sometimes stand back. I mean, you got to enter in, but just to stand back and to see how intricate this is and how immense and how perfect written this word, I am, beginning, end. Ages past, this was our intent. This was for us. This is what he saw for us in him. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.